Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a gorgeous Tuesday night right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
The Vikings may never win a game in Seattle, Washington.
We got the Kraken tomorrow, the M's tonight. We got all kinds of cool concerts at Climate Pledge Arena. You want any tickets for anything? Lottery tickets, bus tickets, punch cards, whatever.
Parking tickets.
Bus tickets. VenueKings.com can take care of you. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a little discount. Well, the M's are back at it tonight. Robbie Ray versus John Gray today, you don't say, over at T-Mobile Park. Luis Torrens on the COVID list. They brought up first baseman Mike Ford from AAA Tacoma. He has spent the last 3 years with the New York Yankees. Baseball news, Padres, by the way, announced today they'll become the first team to have a logo of an advertiser on their uniform with Motorola starting next year. How about that?
Heat leading the Hawks in the first quarter, 26-22. Trey Young's got 10 for Atlanta later on tonight at 5:30. T-Wolves and at the Grizzlies. Grizzlies trying to even up at 1-1. And the Suns try to take a 2-0 lead on the Pelicans at 7 o'clock tonight.
Pelican. Kraken back tomorrow night against Colorado. They come off a 4-2 win against Ottawa last night. Matty Beniers scores again. Games in progress wildly. The Canadiens 1-0 after 1. Red Wings and Lightning scoreless in the second. Jets and Rangers no score as well, early second from Madison Square Garden.
See this report in The Athletic today that Wazoo president Kirk Schultz has emerged as a strong candidate to become the Big 12's next commissioner.
Wow, well, that'd be a great topic for our next guest, because joining us right now on the radio show, our friend Christian Capel from The Athletic. And by the way, I want to mention that we are 20 minutes away from your next chance to win free money. That's right, FM, get it? Free money. We'll give you a keyword and you go to 933KJR.com, submit the word, and you got a chance to win $1,000. That's coming up in 20 minutes right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. A man who could not use $1,000 because he is rich, baby. He is wealthy with knowledge and friendship all around him. Our friend from The Athletic, Christian Capel. How are you, pal?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good.
He kind of sounds like Castor Cone, doesn't he? That voice?
Is this Cam Cleland, by the way? I'm looking for Christian Capel. Is he there? There he is. Hey, man, first of all, it's great to have you back on the radio program. And then second of all, let's get kind of the view from 40,000 feet on what you've seen from spring ball, as we are about a week and a half away from seeing the spring fling, the spring preview, whatever it's called these days, next Saturday at Husky Stadium.
I think the best way to put it, I've said this a few times, it seems like they've corrected the vibes around the program, which is kind of all you can accomplish this time of year, right? You haven't played a game yet, so we'll see how it all looks when they get out there. But I think especially offensively, you look at last year and kind of the downfall of the Jimmy Lake era and everything, it really all comes back to that side of the ball. And big reason they targeted someone like Kalen DeBoer was because of his background and the fact that his offensive background, and the fact that he'd proven he's got a system that can score points. So I think for some of these guys who, maybe thought about the portal and decided to put some faith in this new staff and see what they were all about, I think they're seeing for the first time that, the ball is going to be in the air a lot. You ask these guys what the difference is between, what they were running last year and what they're running now, and the word explosive comes up almost immediately with every guy that, they're about, trying to hit big plays, and that's going to involve putting the ball in the air and getting it to the receivers who they know are going to kind of be their ticket out of this, right? I think Ryan Grubb from day one said, hey, Romo Dunze, Jalen McMillan, and Jalen Polk, like, boom, those are your playmakers. Those are the guys who got to touch the ball. We don't see a ton of like 11-on-11 stuff just as far as, what's open to us. But certainly what we have seen and what the guys are saying, it seems like they're pretty bit bought in on this new offensive philosophy. And it's been a pretty welcome change from last year.
Soft and I might be in the minority, but we want to see a real spring game. And it doesn't sound like we're going to get a real spring game. Talk about the reasons why.
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of get the sense, in a perfect world and in the right situation, Kalen DeBoer would maybe prefer to do that. But just where they're at health-wise at a couple positions, I mean, especially running back and linebacker, you know, they held, obviously, Adefuan Ulofosio is out for quite a while. Carson Bruner was held out of their last scrimmage. So, I mean, he's obviously dealing with something minor. And then, at running back, Richard Newton and Cam Davis and Emeka Megwa are out for the spring. And you know, I think Sam Adams has been dinged up. Camden Sermon was taking first team reps there, but now he's been banged up. He's been doing stuff off to the side. So there's just certain positions. They don't have the bodies to do a full game, but
yeah.
I would imagine you'd still see quite a bit of scrimmaging.
I want to do a Christian Capel again with us. I want to do like a exercise here with the quarterbacks and knowing that we haven't been allowed, you have not been allowed to watch everything happening at spring ball, you know, just kind of take that into consideration and maybe more of this is your gut feel than anything else. Rank the three quarterbacks, Penix, Heward, and Dylan Morris, in order of who would be the starting quarterback if the team played tomorrow, and then tell me how much of a gap is there between the three of them? How much of a gap between one and two, and how much of a gap between two and three in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be, you'd be going way out on a limb if you said that anyone besides Michael Penix Jr. was number one. I just think the experience and the little bit we've seen of him, you know, he certainly hasn't done anything to disprove the notion that, you know, he's a guy who can deliver the ball and get it to where they need to get it to. And obviously his understanding of the offense is going to put him ahead that way too. I probably would say Dylan Morris is still number two, just based on how little difference there was between him and Sam Heward last year. And the fact that, you know, he's got the experience edge there, but, you know, again, there's no way for us to count reps. And no, I would say that the gap between those two guys, however it shakes out, is very slim. I do get the sense that you're going to see Penix on September 3rd against Kent State, but
okay.
I don't know there's a huge difference between two and three right now.
Hmm. What is your take on Penix from the little you've been able to see?
I mean, he looks like a guy who's played a lot of college football. He's confident. He stands in the pocket. He delivers. He can move around a little bit if he needs to. He knows where he's going with the ball, you know. And, again, that's, shoot, four or five, six snaps of you know, non-contact 11-on-11, you know, early on in practice. So take it for what it is. But if you've gone on YouTube and watched his highlights from Indiana, he looks like that guy. You know, I don't know that we've seen him throw an interception in the very limited window that we've been able to watch. I've definitely seen him, you know, make some big throws on stuff up the sideline. He's made some decent throws over the middle. So he's a guy who's definitely not going to lack for confidence and poise based on what we've seen.
Well, I hope if you go to YouTube and watch Penix that it is that guy, because he is the guy. It's the same guy. And I get what you're saying, that's the quarterback that you're getting. My concern, though, is the guy's never played more than six games in his life. Why are things going to be different now?
Well, there's no way to know that they are. I would think he would say that, you know, was there anything about those injuries? It was two ACLs and two shoulder injuries, you know, different knee and different shoulder every time. So, you know, in theory, it's a different injury each time. You know, was that just bad luck, just rotten luck? Hey, it's a physical game. You're getting hit. It's going to happen sometimes. Or, you know, was there something with his conditioning or something like that that was contributing to it? I think they've looked hard at that. I mean, I think, you know, Ryan Grubb was asked about that before the spring started, and, you know, he didn't just throw his hands up and say, oh, well, you know, we'll deal with it. You know, I think they've looked at it and tried to figure out, okay, what's the best way to manage his workload and manage his reps and everything. So, look, he's fully healthy right now, and I think until further notice, you assume that you'll have him going forward. But obviously the injury history is something to keep in the back of your mind.
Since Miles Gaskin graduated, we've had a running back by a very large committee. Do you anticipate, A, all these guys healthy for fall camp, and B, another running back by committee in 2022?
You know, I don't think so. Hmm. I think they like to play two, this coaching staff does. I don't know that you're going to see them rolling three or four guys through there. I don't know how many guys, frankly, right now on the roster, they feel like can do all the things they need them to do in the offense, particularly mm-hmm. when it comes to catching the ball. You know, that's such a huge deal for them. It was, you know, they had, I think, probably their ideal 1-2 combo last year at Fresno State with Ronnie Rivers and Jordan Mims. Ronnie Rivers wound up being one of the best running backs they've had there at Fresno State, but caught the ball a ton. I think was a 1,000-yard rusher, was something like third or fourth on their career rushing list when he left. So, you know, I think they're in wait and see mode on a lot of those guys. You know, they haven't seen Richard Newton practice. You know, they haven't seen Cam Davis practice. They've seen some game film of those guys, and you know, all they've done is add 3 running backs from the transfer portal.
Yep.
You know, what does that tell you? So, Aaron Dumas is getting a ton of reps this spring. You know, I think that, you know, he's by that opportunity going to have a chance to be one of their guys. And then, you know, when Wayne Talapapa and Will Nixon get here, you know, for fall camp, we'll see how they fit in. But, you know, right now they're not getting a great look at those guys in practice because there just aren't that many healthy. So I would expect 2 to emerge. I think Aaron Dumas has got a great chance to be one of those 2. But, you know, first of all, we'll see who's still on the roster come right. August, because right now they got, you know, scholarships committed to 9 running backs. There's no way they're going to have 9 in August. So there is a lot to sort out there.
Well, what about the offensive line and what's going on with Jackson Kirkland, right? The first day of spring ball, he was standing there in uniform with a boot on his foot coming off that surgery. But here we are 3 weeks later and there's been no announcement from the NCAA or nothing. Is he going to be good to go?
Yeah, I mean, still waiting to see. The boot's gone. So he's out there standing in a jersey now with no boot on. So I guess that's progress. But, you know, I mean, Kalen DeBoer was asked on, I think, the last time we talked to him on Friday. And you know, if not, we'll talk to him again Friday and probably ask him again. But, no, he hasn't had any update. As you know, the NCAA kind of moves at its own speed. So, you know, we'll see. It's still April. You know, he's not missing anything right now. He's
right.
Getting to practice anyway, obviously, coming off of surgery. So, you know, if it gets into August and they still haven't heard, you know, then maybe they'll have a little more urgency about it. But I think they're willing to wait however long it takes here for the next couple months.
Right. Christian Capel again from The Athletic. And, Christian, with Jackson Kirkland, I know that when he left, there were a lot of people that were really, really high on Troy Fatuanu at left tackle. Is it a guarantee that if Kirkland gets cleared that he's your starter at left tackle?
Well, you know, it's a good question. We'll see. I would guess so, because Troy Fautanu has practiced at a few different positions. He actually started at left guard in the Apple Cup last year.
Yep.
And you've seen him at left tackle and at left guard so far this spring. So I think they're trying, you know, I think they really, really like him. They've spoken highly of him. He's a guy who they've kind of volunteered as someone who's sort of impressed on that O-line. And you kind of heard some of those things about him from the previous staff, too. So I think he's definitely one of their best 5 right now. I think even if Jackson Kirkland is able to play, he's probably still one of your top 5. So then the question becomes, yeah, is Jackson Kirkland's best position still left tackle? If you assume yes, I think Fautanu could maybe be the solution to that sort of revolving door they've had at left guard over this last season. And, you know, who knows, maybe you look at him at right tackle too. So I think he's got enough versatility and has kind of stood out enough early in the game that he's going to be part of their plan one way or the other.
Well, the defensive line, there's a lot of familiar names, but an unfamiliar name you did a piece on not too long ago, and I'm seeing his name right now at Our Lads for what that's worth in the number one spot at defensive tackle, and that's number 98, Pehopo. Talk a little bit about him, because I don't think a lot of Husky fans know much about him. He only had 2 tackles last year, and he might be a big-time impact maker this year.
Yeah, he would have played a ton last year, but he hurt his foot in a scrimmage in August. He was one, he enrolled early and was, you know, a guy people were talking about right away. And it was really obvious that, like, hey, this is going to be, you know, one of your few true freshmen who you're not thinking about a redshirt. He's just going to be part of the 2 deep and and he's going to play. That injury held him back some, so he only wound up playing in 4 games. But, yeah, he's healthy. And, I mean, he's just one of these guys who he's kind of got that really nasty mentality that, you know, he just, the best way to put it, he doesn't care. You know, he could be lining up. He was a really good offensive lineman, and I think a lot of schools recruited him as an offensive guard too. And, you know, he said, hey, I still don't care if I play defense or offense. Just he wants to go out on a football field and hit somebody and keep doing it over and over and over again. So those are the kind of guys who, you know, whether they pick up the playbook right away or not, he said he had that mentality that you need to get on the field right away. And, you know, with the way their depth is shaken out, like right now, Fatui Tuatele is out recovering from an injury. So there's an opportunity there. Taki Taimani transferred. So, you know, they've got an opening on that starting D line in the interior next to Tuli Lotulinasanoa. And, you know, there's no reason why he can't be the guy. And he's getting good reps right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's a high motor physical guy. So, and he's also just really funny. I mean, talking to the guy, he'd be one who'd be good to get him in front of the cameras and stuff. He might see his NIL opportunities improve.
Well, speaking of that, that's a hell of a transition by you, by the way.
Boy,
that is a professional, man. You saw the clock. You saw we had 3 minutes left, and you knew exactly where we wanted to go. Christian Capel with us. Follow him on Twitter, at Christian Capel. Where is UW in your mind right now with their NIL program in relation to other schools in the conference and the country?
So from what I've been told, they are well ahead of the curve as far as what the school can provide, as far as what's within the athletic department's control. I think that the collective space, the donor space, the Montlake Futures thing, I think that's TBD. You know, I get the impression that they're still really in the early phases of figuring out how they're going to go about things, and it's going to look a lot. You know, if we have this conversation 6 months from now, I think that they will have a lot more knowledge and you know, a lot more kind of like cohesive planning under their belt. And they've already done some things, you know, paying guys to do a meet and greet. And you know, obviously the two basketball players did the interview with you guys. And I think you're going to see more opportunities like that, but it does sound like they're, you know, I talked with Emmy Armentrout, their general manager a while back. And, you know, I asked, hey, you know, do you guys have plans for like a general fund, right? For just pooling cash. Anyone wants to throw, you know, a couple hundred dollars in, whatever. And that's not in the plans right now, but it does sound like that's going to kind of be part of their plan as you project out. But you're not ever going to hear about them putting together a $1 million offer for a recruit. You know, like that's just they've said that, hey, that's not what the University of Washington really has been about anyway, pre-NIL, when probably a lot of other schools were already doing that. It just, you know, just was not allowable. And I don't think that's going to be their game in the NIL space, you know, now that it is above board. I do think that they want to prioritize, you know, putting together enough deals and enough compensation for current players so that they can use that in recruiting to say, hey, you know, they might not be really proactive about like putting together some guaranteed, you know, NIL rights package like you hear about certain other schools doing, but they do at least want to have some things on the current roster they can point to and say, look, we can't guarantee you anything and we're not going to offer you an inducement, but this kid who plays your position, you know, is getting this right now. And so I think that's kind of probably where they see the value in it from a recruiting standpoint. And, you know, we'll see if that keeps up with the marketplace. I think it's changing a lot.
Well, I applaud that principle of the UW not giving $1 million to kids, but guess what? Oregon is, and so is USC. So how are they going to win Rose Bowls if two of the other 11 schools are doing that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the $1 million question right now, or the $1.2 million question, or the $1.5 million question.
Wow. Yeah, look at you.
We'll see. I would say, I mean, just from a rational perspective, Oregon can't sign everybody. USC can't sign everybody. Yeah. And in an average year, USC is getting who it wants anyway, right? I mean, even when Washington has been at its best, how many real, you know, five-star, high four-star kids are they beating USC for in Southern California? Mm-hmm. You know, Oregon's an interesting one. As you know, as much as we ragged on Jimmy Lake for his academically prowess comments, I think that it did get at a philosophical truth about Washington, which is that they think that their brand and Oregon's brand are so different that they don't want to end up in head-to-head battles for recruits all the time. You know, Josh Connerly is one very obvious, glaring, recent exception. And when it's somebody out of Washington's backyard who ends up at Oregon, obviously that's a painful one. But, you know, I think that the hope for Washington is that long term they will set up enough NIL opportunities for the you know, players who they do get for who do come to Washington and have success and build their brand and all those things that, you know, they could sell to a prospective recruit that, hey, you can get just as much coming here. It's just that, you know, they're not going to put together a contract guaranteeing you however many million dollars for your NIL rights.
Christian, great stuff. There's a lot to chew on here, and we will chew on it next segment. So awesome stuff. Give Christian a follow on Twitter, at Christian Capel, and we will talk and see you very soon, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
this,
man.
Pal.
All right, thank you, guys.
You got it, man. Good stuff there. What do you say we come back and yak about that next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best NFL draft coverage in town kicks off April 28th, live from the VMAC. Brought to you by Hunt Services, Lakeland Village Golf Course, Hendrickas Organics, Chambers Bay Distillery, Half Lion Brewing Company, and Fox 13. Now back to Softy and Dick on Seattle's sports leader, Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
All right, so our friend Jackson Felt.
Jesus Christ, Jackson.
Says we have three teams left in the mock draft. Is
now
that right?
Only one left.
Whoa. Wow, look at us.
Ask and we shall receive.
Who do you have left there?
That would be, if I look right here, the Detroit Lions at number two overall.
Really? Nobody wants the
Lions? Nobody wants the Lions. Nobody wants the Lions at number two.
I'm making that pick. Get the hell out of here, man. Guy's going to suck. All right, well, if you want the Lions, you want someone to call the show, is that easier for you at this point? Or
no.
Do you want them to go on the website
one
and
more
do
person.
All the rigmarole and blah, blah,
Jackson's
blah?
Jackson's got a process here. Don't do.
Okay.
One more person
stop
to the website.
It. Fine.
He's rolling.
No, what's the website again?
I almost said it wrong. 933KJR.com.
933KJR.com. Or as I say, 933KJR.com. Not 93.3. It's 93.3.
That's kind of why I say 933, just to kind of eliminate the...
Yes. Just make it easy for people. 933KJR.com. Go to the Softy and Dick page. The mock draft signups are right there. They're right there. And you can be the guy or gal that grabs the Lions at number two in our mock draft next week at the Half Lion Public House on Meeker in Kent at the Riverbend Golf Complex. All right, so Christian Capel was with us last segment from The Athletic. Very informative, I thought, as opposed to his normal interviews that offer nothing. No, I'm kidding. He was great with us today, and we asked him about the NIL era and the situation with the NIL over at UW, Montlake Futures, and how it compares to other schools in the Pac-12.
They are well ahead of the curve as far as what the school can provide, as far as what's within the athletic department's control. I think that the collective space, the donor space, the Montlake Futures thing, I think that's TBD. I get the impression that they're still really in the early phases of figuring out how they're going to go about things, and it's going to look a lot. You know, if we have this conversation 6 months from now, I think that they will have a lot more knowledge and a lot more kind of like cohesive planning under their belt. And they've already done some things, you know, paying guys to do a meet and greet. And you know, obviously the two basketball players did the interview with you guys. And I think you're going to see more opportunities like that. But it does sound like I talked with Emmy Armentrout, their general manager a while back. And, you know, I asked, hey, you know, do you guys have plans for like a general fund, right? For just pooling cash. Anyone wants to throw, you know, a couple hundred dollars in, whatever. And that's not in the plans right now, but it does sound like that's going to kind of be part of their plan as you project out. But you're not ever going to hear about them putting together a $1 million offer for a recruit. You know, like that's just the, they've said that, hey, that's, you know, that's not what the University of Washington really has been about anyway, pre-NIL, when probably a lot of other schools were already doing that. It just, you know, just was not allowable. And I don't think that's going to be their game in the NIL space, you know, now that it is above board.
What does he mean by well ahead of the curve, mm-hmm, as far as what the school can provide?
Right.
And then nearly so far ahead as the donors can provide.
So Washington is one of only two schools in the conference that is actually paying academic bonuses to players. Did you know that, by the way?
No, I did not.
And the other school is Oregon. And I believe they can offer up to $5,000 to kids that make grades. I don't know if that's per year or per quarter. I don't know how that works. But I do know that as of like a week and a half ago, they were only one of two schools in the conference that were literally handing over cash to players for getting good grades, which is great, right, that they're one of two schools doing that. I'd prefer the other school not to be Oregon, but whatever. And I think what he meant by the donors is that, and I don't know if this is necessarily accurate or not, but if it's what Christian's hearing, then that's great, that they're still trying to convince people to invest in the program, right? Jackson, it's what we talked about a couple Fridays ago when we were over at UW, that they need people that own companies, that own businesses, to be willing to step up and write checks to get kids to endorse their product. They got to get people excited about Husky football. And I think it's hard when you're coming off a 4-8 season, right? I mean, Oregon's coming off Fiesta Bowl, Rose Bowl, whatever. Maybe people are more fired up down there. USC just hired Lincoln Riley. Maybe they're more fired up down there. But I think they need to get people excited again about Husky football and to invest in Husky football. It's not just about buying tickets and making donations now to the program. It's about writing checks to the school that can be used to influence kids to stay at UW and not enter the portal, and then to come here from high school. So you need people to start literally writing checks and to invest financially in Montlake Futures and the program. And we're going to have some folks in here, Dick, I think in the next week or so, from Montlake Futures to explain what they're doing and what fans can do to help out. But I think that's what Christian meant by that.
Is it more of a problem like you just illustrated there with Kalen DeBoer, got to get this program off the ground and winning again? Or is it just more of a Washington donor problem? Because I remember vividly you and I sitting here after three consecutive BCS bowl games by Chris Peterson, and there wasn't much buzz then.
Right, right. Well, I think that a lot of time has passed since the early 90s, and that there's a lot of competition now, right? You got the Kraken, you got the Sounders, you got the Storm, you got the Seahawks, we have a women's soccer team, we have a rugby team. There's a lot going on now in this city versus 30 years ago, right? Go back to the 1960s when UW was the only game in town.
Seafair and Husky football.
It's totally different now. But I do believe that if this program starts to win, I mean, this county is not starving for money, right? No. There's multimillionaires and billionaires walking around all over the place in this town. There's plenty of people with plenty of connections and plenty of organizations that could step up and be motivated to write checks. It's Kalen DeBoer and Jen Cohen's job to motivate them to do that. That's what they have to do. And it's not going to happen until this team starts to win games. I mean, look, it's the chicken or the egg thing, right? Yeah. What do you do first? Do you win games to get folks fired up, or do you, you know, get folks fired up to win games? And I think you have to start winning. I think UW football is building from the ground up in a lot of ways. The Chris Peterson era was great, and then it all fell apart with Jimmy Lake. You know, you're still talking about a generation of fans that grew up in the Willingham era.
I just think that there's a handful of schools out there, and everybody knows the names of them, where it is, we are national championship caliber, and nothing else is even acceptable.
Right.
And that doesn't exist here. And I'm not saying,
I don't think it does either.
And that
it can, but it doesn't now.
It does. And I'm not saying that's a horrible thing for Washington to be like that, because most of college football is like Washington,
right,
where they have a desire to be good. We want to be competitive. We want to fill our stadium. We'd like to play for a Rose Bowl every now and then. but that's different than saying,
sure,
we must win the SEC, we must get to the Final Four, and we must win it on a fairly regular basis, or we're not doing our job.
It comes down to the simple question that Danny Cannell asked on this radio show when he was on with us last fall, when he said, how serious are you about college football? Period. End of story. And we've made the same damn comment over and over and over again. The SEC and a lot of other conferences like it could not have given a damn about COVID. Whether it's right or wrong is irrelevant. They fought through it. They didn't care about COVID. They were literally willing to let people get sick to go watch football. So that might be out of the realm of your moral compass, and I get that, but it's a different animal down there. It is a different animal. It just means more is accurate.
Yes.
So how serious are we about college football in Seattle? And if we are serious about it, then we will get off our ass and we will find a way to start playing dirty with the rest of these teams like Oregon, like USC, that are offering these kids mega deals to come play football for their school. What do we want? And if we have enough people, we can pull it off. I don't know if there are enough people right now that are that fired up to pull it off. So the other thing he said is that he doesn't ever foresee UW or Montlake Futures offering a $1 million deal. I want to address that next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, we'll get back to that NIL conversation at 6 p.m. We also have a code word, by the way, at 6:20 in our free money contest for $1,000, so stay tuned for that. But joining us right now on the radio show, and I would just remind people out there, if you don't think the CONCACAF Champions League final is a big deal, it is a massive effing deal.
This is a massive effing deal for the club.
Okay, massive effing deal.
This is a massive effing deal for the club.
And here he is to talk about it, baby, our friend Brian Schmetzer. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, you guys. I mean, it was comical. Jackson was asking me if I was okay if you played that little soundbite, and I go, yeah, sure. I mean, Softy does what he wants anyway, so go ahead.
That is not true.
This is a massive effing deal for the club.
But you're right. It is a massive effing deal for the club. Well, listen, man, first of all, tell me about this. I mean, a guy like you that grew up in the area, right? You got soccer in the 206 running through your freaking veins, for God's sakes. You're about to play for the CONCACAF Champions League final title and do something that nobody has ever done in the history of the MLS. Your boss, your buddy, Garth Lagerwey, says it's the biggest thing the club has ever done. How does it feel to be a part of it, man?
Well, it feels great. It feels really kind of surreal. You know, I'm the kind of guy that it takes me a while to kind of reflect after seasons or past seasons. And, you know, obviously, this is a massive frickin' deal. I mean, it is a big deal. It's a chance to play in the Club World Cup. It certainly puts a marker down for clubs in MLS. A bunch of clubs, well, not a bunch, only five clubs have, you know, made it to a final. Some have been close. We want to be the first one to push MLS over the line. There's a lot of reasons why it's a big freaking deal. We're going to hopefully on May 4th have a pile of people in Lumen Field. I think the atmosphere is going to be great. You know, I'm not too old to remember 2019 when we hosted MLS Cup Final, Softy. It's going to be similar. There's going to be a great vibe in the stadium. It's for a championship. It is a really massive opportunity for this club.
Brian, what does it mean to the league to have one of their teams win this tournament? And what would it mean for the Sounders as far as attracting talent from the whole half of the world that's going to see it?
Yeah, I would say that it's a huge deal for the league. They've always kind of measured themselves either just in expectations, or they wanted to, or whatever. Liga MX was always a bigger league, a bigger club. That was the closest measuring stick that MLS has had, and they've had to work at it for a while. I mean, we've grown. We certainly have, you know, new teams coming in, expansion, better players coming into our league, and, you know, one team is going to do it eventually. Why not us? And then, yes, we've always been an attractive place to play. I mean, look at today. I mean, this afternoon, I mean, you guys are holed up in the studio, but it turned out to be a gorgeous afternoon.
Yep.
Training was great. The sun was out. I mean, Seattle's a beautiful place to live and play soccer for one of the best teams in the country and in the continent.
It's been 2 minutes since we last heard this clip.
This is a massive f***ing deal for the club.
I'm going to play it one more time just to remind people. But Brian Schmetzer with us, and you talked about how big this is for the MLS. I mean, let me ask you this. Should Portland Timber fans be rooting for you guys to win this thing? And if Portland was in your shoes playing for the final, would you be rooting for them?
Now there's a question.
For that?
Do you not want to?
Look, I was rooting for New York City FC in the MLS Cup final.
Right.
Okay, I can go that far.
Okay.
But I like Gio Savarese. He's a great guy, a good coach. Look, if Portland was in our shoes, if they had a chance, I might have to root for the MLS entrant. I mean, I just might have to. I mean, I like Gio.
Tell us about Pumas, because most Sounder fans have probably never seen a match.
Never seen them. Really great center forward. They've got a young right winger that's come on and lit them up. They're a good team. They've been consistent in their, you know, in their league play. I mean, not really the top four, but not the bottom four either. This year they've had a couple of really great results. Their semifinal victory over Cruz Azul, two rivals. You know, the semifinal game, they had like 60,000 people in the stadium. So it's a big club. It's going to be a hard game, that first, you know, that first round going down there.
Yep.
But certainly one where we feel that we can compete.
By the way, Jackson's very, very disappointed in you that you would admit that you're from Portland.
I'll make it up to him.
He's removing your face tattoo from his chest as we speak right now. So you guys may have to talk off the air. But Brian Schmetzer is with us. I mean, here's the thing. You got this massive effing deal for the club.
This is a massive effing deal for the club.
But you got a game with San Jose on Saturday, right? I mean, you got leg one next week in Mexico. Leg two on Star Wars Day, by the way, in Seattle. I mean, how much effort and how much focus can you put into this game Saturday?
That'll be the sign of whether, you know, I'm a good coach or above average coach or a great coach. I mean, we gotta try and find the right momentum going into the two-legged final. Like, we can't go down to San Jose and lay an egg. You know, we gotta be prepared for San Jose. Look, they just fired their coach.
Yep.
They're gonna be all fired up because they're gonna have a new interim coach, and you know, you get that new coach bump. This is gonna be a tricky game. So we're gonna have to start, you know, our best lineup, see how the game progresses, and then make strategic subs based on, you know, the game against Pumas. But we gotta go down there and try and win.
So the second leg, you obviously get here. How big is that, and what does that mean?
You know, it's an interesting question because that was the debate kind of after we got through to the final, Dick. You know, we had good results playing at home first. You know, we beat Lyon 3-0, and then we went down there and it was a draw 1-1. We beat New York City 3-1, and then we had a draw 1-1 there. So it's a little bit different. And we were kind of just talking about the tenor, the tone of the away game first, and how do we approach that, and then the home game. You know, if you get a bad result down in Mexico, is there a little more pressure? Yes, you've got hopefully 60,000 fans screaming in support and all of that. So interesting change for us versus the last two series that we played in.
Right. Well, listen, before you go, Gomez Andrade, what's the status there? Tell us.
He will be available for selection against San Jose.
Wow. Love it. Okay. It well, I would just say this to the guys, if I were you, not that you need my advice, but, you know, in 50 years from now, when these guys get together and they're 75, 80 years old, having a reunion, sitting on a back deck somewhere, having a, you know, couple of glasses of Casamigos, what do you want the story to be? You want the story to be that you were good enough to play in the final, or that you won the whole damn thing for the first time in MLS history? So go get them next week. We'll talk, I think, before the first leg, but best of luck, man. We're pulling for you. It's very exciting for the entire town, and can't wait to see you guys back on the pitch on Saturday, pal.
Thanks,
go
Coach.
Get them. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your support, as always, Softy. Take care, Dick.
You got it. Brian Schmetzer with us on the radio show.
This is a massive deal for the club.
Hey, don't think for a second he loves having that out there, or doesn't love having that out there.
I
he knows
they tweeted it, didn't they?
They did. He knows there's a microphone on him.
Yeah.
He knows he's being recorded when he says
it.
Things like that. You remember his message after the first leg of the NYCFC series?
We put ourselves in a very, very, very good spot. And so let's make sure we don't this up.
I love it. All right, we're going to break. We're going to revisit, go back to a couple of comments Christian Capel made about where UW is in regards to NIL. Plus, we're going to give you a code word in about 25 minutes for $1,000 potentially. Coming up on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a Tuesday night right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I'm just old and cynical and burned out and all those things.
If you are looking to go to the Sounders match with Pumas on May the 4th, check it out, dude. VenueKings.com can get you in the building for $57
wow.
right now. Use code Softy at checkout at VenueKings.com for the biggest soccer match in the history of the world. On the 4th of May, Jackson will be fully nude the entire time,
yikes.
By the way. Mariners have brought up Mike Ford, first baseman from AAA. He spent the last 3 years in the New York Yankees organization. Luis Torrens is on the COVID list, by the way. M's tonight. Robbie Ray against John Gray tonight at T-Mobile Park. M's 5-5, starting a three-game series with the Rangers tonight.
A trio of NBA games tonight. One is in the second half. Heat leading by 10 over the Hawks, 72-62. Trae Young with 18 for Atlanta. Jimmy Butler with 29 for the Heat. Grizzlies lead the T-Wolves 14-12 nearing the end of the first quarter. And later on tonight, Pelicans and the Suns. The Warriors, by the way, last night took a 2-0 series lead. Do you realize how many points they scored in a 19-minute span? You want to take a guess?
42.
How about 70?
Wow!
In 19 minutes in the second and third quarter.
I would have been happy
game.
With 41.
41 yards!
That's amazing. Kraken tomorrow, back at it against the best team in the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche, coming off a 4-2 win yesterday over Ottawa. Matty Beniers scores again. Games in progress. Maple Leafs lead the Flyers 3-1 early third from Toronto. Wild up on the Canadiens 1-0 early third from Montreal. And the Wings and Lightning tied at 3 in the third.
Seahawks meeting today with former Cowboys safety DeMonte Casey, who started in Dallas last year and has 12 picks in his five-year career. And the Hawks made it official, signing players today, including defensive tackle Brian Monet, defensive back Ryan Neal, and John Reed. And they get the Geno Smith thing fixed that we were talking about at 3
o'clock. Rappaport said it was getting voided, but it was going to get fixed.
It's
so
they're signing
kind
it.
Of a no-news type of thing. Yeah. AOS, one game right now. Angels lead the Astros 1-0, bottom third. From Houston. All right, 6:05 on a Tuesday night right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. As of last look, we had one team left in the mock draft, the Lions at number 2.
Still there.
They're still there. You want them?
Anybody want? I'll take the Lions.
You can take them. You can't get a prize, but you can take them.
Well, I'll be the backup plan if we don't get one.
Why
I'm
can't
sure
we just,
we're going to get
why
one.
Why can't we just take a phone call and have somebody grab it right now?
Let's do it. You know what? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Right,
let's do it.
Next person.
He says
it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm fired up. Let's do it.
So we're gonna have a pick that everybody already knows.
2-8. No. That person will call Jackson off the air right now and get the team to represent.
I got you.
We need a GM for the Lions.
I got you.
286-9595 800-829-0950. First caller that calls in and can be at the Half Lion Public House in Kent next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. We will give you the Lions. You will make the selection for the Lions. And, hell, I might even buy you lunch and a shot, by the way. And wow. Dick might buy you a beer and a loaf of bread. So if you can
you get
do
one
it,
of those at the half
you
line?
Can. I mean, they
loaf
make,
of bread?
They make sandwiches.
Yeah,
I'm sure, they
just
got bread in the background.
Grab some wheat.
If anybody wants the Lions, call Jackson off the air right now, and he will give you that team to represent at the mock draft next Wednesday
already.
At the Half Lion Public House in Kent. On Meeker at the Riverbend Golf Complex. Romando, is that what he said?
Romando.
Romando.
Lomondo.
Lomondo has taken the Lions. That means the mock draft is full. God. Thank God. I'm
he's
almost
gonna,
more annoyed by having to mention this 5,000 times a day than I am this freaking FM thing.
You know, the Lomondo's going to tell all his friends.
It actually is Romando. My
it's Romando.
Okay,
Romando.
I was going to say.
So for the next week, Romando's going to tell all his friends, hey, I'm in the Mahler Millen mock draft. And all of his buddies are going to be, who are you selecting for? The Lions.
And they'll have a collective, right? Yeah. Hey. Well, you got a chance to win money. The winner gets $933, courtesy of Half Lion Brewing. So we'll be there next Wednesday doing the show live. You know, outside of our shows from the Emerald Queen, we don't do a lot of remotes these days, you know, and we're getting back at it with Jimmy's and all
yes.
that stuff. But we're going to be at the Half Lion Public House next Wednesday. You actually have the perfect job next Wednesday. I would love to be you next Wednesday.
Do I just get to drink beer?
You just got to come hang out.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
That's all you got to do. Come out.
And it's at a golf course.
Play
I
a couple
balls
of holes.
Across the street.
Go across the street to the range. Hey, what's going on over here? Cam Cleland's going to be our celebrity commissioner. I've already confirmed that with him.
Nice.
Hugh Millen will be there. I will be there. Dick will be there. We're all going to be there at the Half Lion Public House on Meeker next Wednesday. So swing on by, even if you're not in the mock draft. Hey, before we hear, Bobby Wagner was on the Rich Eisen show today. We're going to hear that in a minute, by the way. But before we do that, I want to go back and talk about one thing that Christian Capel talked about an hour ago. He was on the air with us. And mention what maybe one thing that we won't be seeing from Montlake Futures in regards to the NIL situation. Go ahead.
You're not ever going to hear about them putting together a $1 million offer for a recruit. They've said that, hey, that's not what the University of Washington really has been about anyway, pre-NIL, when probably a lot of other schools were already doing that. It just, you know, just was not allowable. And I don't think that's going to be their game in the NIL space, you know, now that it is above board.
Hmm. I don't believe that that's true, by the way, that UW will never be interested in making a $1 million offer for a high school athlete through Montlake Futures to come play football at Washington. And there's a couple reasons why I don't believe it. Number one, this is the 12th biggest market in the country. All right, they should not be precluded from ever making an offer like that if an offer like that can originate from an armpit like Eugene, Oregon. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, that's suicide, right? I mean, to admit that, hey, we're not going to make an offer that maybe USC or Oregon's going to make, but we would never do that. That's ridiculous for them to come from that perspective. And number three, why would they ever want that out there? That they would never make an offer like that to a high school athlete when Oregon just did to Josh Connerly. It makes no freaking sense. So, look, I'm not saying that Christian's making that up. That'd be bogus. That's nonsense for me to suggest. I'm sure he's reporting what he was told. But I don't believe that to be true, that there is no way, no how, that UW will ever make a $1 million offer for an athlete through Montlake Futures. I don't believe that.
Well, I think that I believe it to a certain extent. I don't think they're going to put together a package with the funds that they have in Montlake Futures that equal $1 million for any one individual recruit. Now, having said that, if there
Why
is
not?
A recruit that,
Why not?
That well, hear me out. If there is a donor that calls them up and says, "Listen, I am willing to give $750,000 to this kid. I'm putting it in your coffers. You got to make sure you go grab him." Then I think Montlake Futures will do the rest and get it to over $1 million. But I just don't think for the same.
I think that's semantics, Dick. I really do. I think it's semantics because a large majority of the money that they have in their coffers at Montlake Futures will come from donors. Almost all of it will
right,
come from donors.
Right, but do you think donors would rather that are giving to Montlake Futures would rather give to a pot that they trust Montlake Futures to distribute widely, casting a broad net to try to bring a bunch of quality players into this program, versus just going out and spending a boatload on one guy.
Well,
I don't
on,
think that's necessarily well, the best way to go
either. But you're talking about there being some kind of a budget, and I don't know what that is. I mean, you know, you're talking about them being restricted on how much money they can spend. That you here's your $4 million and you got to spend it wisely because that's all there is. I don't think that's the case. I think that, you know, tell me about the next five-star athlete that comes out of Seattle. And who that guy is and how motivated somebody else is to help pay for that guy. But, I mean, just the general idea that $1 million offer is not – they're not interested in making a deal like that. I don't think that's true. I don't. Because I think it would be ridiculous for them to have that attitude. And I don't think they're
ridiculous. Well, certainly
publicly
it would be ridiculous.
Or privately because the word would go around. Right? I mean, imagine, you know, Oregon getting a hold of a quote like that or recruits thinking that UW is cheap. Or their NIL, collective is cheap. I just think that's insane to have that attitude. And this is the dawn of a new day in 2022. You can't act like that. There's not a chance they can act like that and get away with it.
Well, I think most schools, though, especially academic schools, schools known for their academics, are probably on that same wavelength. Not to say that it's never going to happen, but man, oh man, I would be shocked unless it's like the absolute no-brainer five-star quarterback that's going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft that happens to play high school football 5 miles away from UW. I mean, if it's not that situation, I got a hard time buying that they're going to spend $1 million on any one player.
Well, it depends on what year it is, where the guy's from, what he does, and who's interested and how good the football team is. And I just think in general terms, the idea that $1 million offer is not in their interest, that they don't want to go down that road, I'm telling you, I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Now, you can have whatever opinion you want. I'm telling you that I would be very, very surprised if the folks at Montlake Futures woke up tomorrow and said, you know what, we just don't want to be involved in that arena. And that's what Christian was suggesting. Right. And I don't think that's true.
I'm wondering how Husky fans feel. How they?
I'd be pissed if I were a Husky fan and I heard that. Are you kidding me?
I bet there's a lot of Husky fans that would go the other way and say, no, I don't want to spend $1 million on one player.
Well, but again, why not? Why not? First of all, it's not your money, number one. And second of all, it's not like it's $1 million on one guy or $1 million on five guys. I mean, we have no idea what their approach is going to be and how much money will be available. When this team starts winning games.
Budget,
right, but it's way more than $1 million. This is 2022. I mean, dude, $1 million in 5 years could be peanuts.
Could be.
It could be nothing. So, look, I'm just telling you two things. Number one, I don't think it's true. And number two, I hope it's not true. Because to have that attitude in this era and this landscape, you want to win national championships, you want to compete for the best that college football has to offer, you cannot limit yourself like that. Now, hopefully you won't need to do things like that. That's maybe a different way to go about it, but you cannot limit yourself like that. So I just know if I were a dog fan and I heard somebody say that UW is not going to be involved in conversations like that, well then, guys like Josh Connerly then, if they are exclusively in it for the NIL, which I think Brandon Huffman and Greg Biggins are guys that have said the number one driver right now of where high school players go to college is name, image, and likeness. That's the number one thing that is driving these decisions. And if UW is not going to be involved in the same kind of offer that Oregon just gave Josh Connerly, then they'll never get kids like that. Never.
That's right. That's
and
right.
That's not smart business at all. Bobby Wagner, by the way, speaking of business, you want to transition here to
sure.
this? He was on with Rich Eisen today. And talked about leaving the Seahawks, how it all came down, and joining the LA Rams.
Yeah, I always thought I was going to be in Seattle forever. I thought, you know, you watch guys like Ray Lewis and you know, those guys play their whole career with one team. That was my vision. And, you know, when it didn't happen, you know, you had to take a moment to realize you're not in Seattle anymore. Then you had to figure out where you're going to go. And then, you know, when I ended up coming to LA, I thought it was nice because I was still going to be close to Seattle and be in front of fam for the first time since, I think, high school. So it worked out for me.
So let's take it one piece at a time then.
Yeah.
The leaving Seattle thing,
yeah.
that thing.
Yeah.
Took you by surprise? Bobby?
It did take me by surprise because I felt like, you know, I understood that there was going to be some changes, and I knew that things were going to look a lot different. And I knew me and Russ were the last ones that kind of been able to last from that Super Bowl team. And, you know, I thought there was going to be like a conversation just to let me know, but it didn't happen that way. And so when I saw Russ kind of leave, I knew that there was a chance that my time there was coming to an end as well.
Mm. What do you make of all that? Because I got a couple thoughts on it, but what do you make of it?
I'm sorry to see him go. I would have loved his vision to come true. I was fine. I've said on the air, I was fine giving him a 3-year contract where you can get out of it after the second year. And that's pretty much what the case is. It's a 5-year contract, but you really can get out of it after the third year. You can really get out of it. There's only $3 million of dead cap after that. There's $7.5 million if you get out of it after 2023.
It's a team friendly deal. In LA,
it's not what it appeared to be
when the initial reports came out.
Yes, yeah, but right. In the current state of the Seahawks, I don't really blame them.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me a little bit, and you know, I mean, when I say bothers me, you know, I mean, look, he's gone. Whatever, you move on, and one day he'll come back, get his number retired. You know, shake hands, kiss babies, the whole thing. He's Bobby Wagner. Nobody will ever wear 54 ever again. But what kind of struck me is that, and maybe it's the timing of it all. And I understand it. It still kind of confuses me a little bit. First of all, Bobby Wagner was top 5 in tackles in the NFL last year. He can still play.
Yes, he can.
There's no question about that. This defense, I think, could use a guy like Bobby Wagner on their roster. It seems like they gave Richard Sherman more of a chance to return than they did Bobby Wagner. Because John Schneider made it sound like there was no room for negotiation at all. He was just gone.
Well, that's
at his press conference,
well,
right?
Well, here's the difference. The difference is they think they have their linebackers set. They didn't have their corners
right,
set.
Right, no, I understand that. But it's also Bobby Damn Wagner. He's the greatest defensive player in team history, right? So with Richard Sherman, they said, hey, go get an offer, come back, and let us know what it is, and we can talk about it.
And they still totally love
it. And they said, we don't want to have you back. And yeah. But they didn't even give Bobby Wagner that opportunity. The whole thing just kind of left a weird taste in my mouth, to be honest with you.
What's worse, not giving somebody an offer or lowballing somebody? I'd almost say you're showing more respect to Bobby Wagner by not offering him a contract.
I understand that perspective, too. But I also understand letting Bobby kind of, hey, look, here's the story. We're probably not going to be able to match what you get in the open market. We probably won't be able to match what a team like the Rams or Niners or Cowboys would give you. But we'd love to have you back. And if you want to come back and talk to us, we'd love to talk to you. And that didn't seem to be the case with Bobby Wagner at all. But I think the Hawks are doing the right thing by kind of, and I saw Randy Mueller's tweet on this, kind of taking the high road, just shut up and just move on, right? I mean, if he wants to complain about it, let him complain. There's no benefit at all, I think, to Pete Carroll and John Schneider getting into a pissing match with Bobby Wagner in public over the way his career ended in Seattle. So let him vent. Let him get off his chest. Let him play a couple years with L.A., and then let's celebrate his career, right, when the career comes to an end. Same thing with Richard Sherman. Let him finish his career, and then let him come back here. You know, time will heal all the wounds, and one of these days these guys will all be welcome back, and they'll all be in the Ring of Honor, and hell, some of them may end up working for the team.
I don't think Earl will be healed until Pete Carroll's gone.
No, for sure. But Pete's not going to be here forever. And, you know, Earl deserves a spot in the Ring of Honor just like Cam and Richard and Bobby do. All right, we'll get a break. Let's get to our mini mock. Coming up next, Fat Tony Smith from Jacksonville, Matt Derry from Detroit. Number one, number two, what's going on in Jacksonville and Detroit? They're on the clock. Coming up next, we'll hit those two cities and find out right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.